He's going to be signing autographs on the concourse prior to tonight's game. Gary Roberts played over 1,200 NHL games, 438 goals, 471 assists, 909 points, and 2,560 penalty minutes. 10 seasons with the Flames and a Stanley Cup in 1989. And look who decides to join us here in the Hot Stove Lounge. Very cool to have Gary Roberts along with us to kick off Hockey Central at noon. Thank you so much for doing this. How are you?
Very good. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well. Yeah. And it has to be a pretty cool night for you tonight, hey?
It is cool. Yeah, Calgary was a special place for me, and obviously got my start playing for the Calgary Flames, and enjoyed 10 years here, and met a lot of really nice people, and obviously won a Stanley Cup in Calgary in 89, which is a memory that I'll never forget, and it was a special place to be.
So how does a night like this kind of all come about? How do you get informed that this is something that's going to be happening?
Well, I was just contacted by the Calgary Flames and asked if I'd be interested in coming out for an alumni night and get to reconnect with the fans and reconnect with the organization. And you know, those are opportunities that you just don't turn down. Obviously, being here for those 10 years left a mark on me, and I spent my summers here during those 10 years, and I really believed that I was going to be a Calgary Flame for my whole career. And when I went through the injury I did with my neck and things changed, and the Flames had to move me on, it wasn't something that I wanted to do at that time, but recognized the situation they were in too, and they had no choice. But I definitely I enjoy coming back. I have really close friends in Calgary I still keep in contact with. So when I land in Calgary, it still kind of feels like home. So it really is nice to be back, and nice that they gave me the opportunity to be here tonight and reconnect with the fans.
Well, take me back to mid-80s. You're drafted as a first-round pick by the Flames, but you're a Toronto guy. You're an OHL guy. So you're drafted in the first round by a team out west here in Calgary, still kind of very much kind of finding their way in the National Hockey League. So what are your impressions of Calgary? Do you know much about Alberta and Calgary when you were drafted at the time?
No, I didn't, actually. I just knew that I had to hate Edmonton. That was about all I knew as an early Calgary Flame when I landed here. Definitely coming and being part of the organization was a real wake-up call for me at 18 years old, walking in here. And I just talked about it earlier about failing every fitness test at my first NHL training camp and recognizing that, holy crap, I was going to have to work a lot harder than I was working if I wanted to be an NHL player. So I think that was my first lesson, and watching how fit the Calgary Flames were. They were ahead of their time in 1986. Coach Badger Bob had this team, a lot of college players that were a little bit older and had a little more introduction to weight training and fitness than us junior hockey players did. And I definitely wasn't the fittest player in the world when I first came here, but learned pretty quickly that I was going to have to step it up to play. And the Calgary Flames, you think back to those days with the Edmonton Oilers, we had some pretty good battles, and it was a memory for me being part of that team for those years. We were a pretty fit, pretty dominant team for quite a few years, and I would have thought we would win more than one Stanley Cup, but things kind of got dismantled in the early 90s, and we obviously haven't had that success since.
Pretty amazing to think with what you're doing now that you would have failed every fitness test going back to your first training camp. That's pretty amazing to think about.
Yeah, no doubt. I guess that's what happens to you, right? There's those challenges in your life that you either go one way or the other. And I was fortunate to go the right direction. And now with what I do today and helping young players, hopefully avoid some of those challenges that I did have. And I definitely don't know it all, but I went through enough ups and downs with fitness tests and with injuries that hopefully I'm a help to some of these young players, and they can have a chance at longevity in the game.
Gary Roberts is with us here. It's alumni night here. Gary Roberts honored here at the Scotiabank Saddledome prior to the Flames and the Minnesota Wild. He'll be signing autographs on the concourse prior to the game and down here at the Saddledome right now. So you mentioned, you know, you had to hate Edmonton when you stepped foot here in Calgary, and those battles of Alberta that you were a part of in the early 80s into the 90s. How fondly do you look back on the Battle of Alberta and playing against the Edmonton Oilers?
Yeah, that's one of the best memories is playing in those games, and the anticipation and the anxiety you felt either on a bus up to Edmonton or flying to Edmonton. It was always a really physical game. It was always a lot of pressure. And, you know, those are the reasons you play the game is for those moments. It is definitely one of those things. I know a lot of the players would say, you know, okay, boys, you know, hit or be hit, right? Take your pick. And that's how physical those games were. And we had some real battles with that team. And they had some big boys, so there's no doubt that those games and those series that we played in the early Smythe Division days for mm-hmm. me, there's top memories that I remember as an early Calgary Flame.
Anxiety, that's the word that you use.
Anxiety, yeah, I'd find some anxiety, no doubt about it. At 4 o'clock, I would be. Some days I would sleep, right? Some days you were able to sleep, but some days I'll tell you what, you lay there for an hour and a half and know you got to go and play against Marty McSorley and
yeah.
And Bookaboom and Smith and McClelland and Dave Brown. I mean, they had a tough Semenko. I was fortunate, you know, I did a little bit of scrapping early on in my career, and Timmy Hunter was he was a good man. Timmy, I remember saying to me one day, he says, "Rob's, I'll always take the toughest guy. You just make sure you got the second toughest guy." So, you know, I was always lucky enough that I didn't have to really go against too many heavyweights. A little tussle with Marty McSorley one night. But most of my guys were close to my weight category, which was a little easier for me to have to deal with early in my career.
Well, I know a lot of guys who played on both teams during the era said you made each other better. The way that the teams bulked up and made their teams better in terms of personnel, and then the way things actually transpired on the ice. Yeah. You kind of raised each other's level, didn't you?
Yeah, and I think around the league, I think it had an impact on the league. I think a lot of teams looked at the success that the Flames and the Oilers were having in the mid-80s, and I think they started to change and build their teams around what was going on out here. I really believe that the Edmonton-Calgary series in the late 80s, I think everybody, you know, that was a hockey fan at that time, and even if you weren't from Alberta, it left an impact on you. Those series were a pretty incredible series to be part of.
You win a Stanley Cup while you were 22 or 23
years
old.
Yeah, just turned 23.
So you just turned 23. You win. So to win a Stanley Cup so young like that, it's got to, as Kelly Rudy just comes.
I know. I love Kelly. I miss Kelly. You know, I always say when Kelly retired, I remember saying that you can't retire. You're the only goalie I score against still. You may, I was going to pay Kelly money so he didn't retire. We played L.A. so many times. You know, you play them 8 times, you're guaranteed a few goals. So, Kelly. Always nice to see you, Kelly. You're a good man, buddy. Glad you're doing good.
Now Rudes is all, he's regretting coming in here and shaking your hand.
Yeah, you're a good man.
You do.
Thanks, Kelly.
To win that Stanley Cup at that young an age, 23 years old, had to, obviously a thrill. I guess just your overall thoughts on being that age now and reflecting back on being so young at the time.
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely appreciate it more today than I did then. I mean, at 23, like I said earlier, I sit on the blue line and I said to Joe Noondike, I said, well, that was easy. How many more of those are we going to win? And then I went on to play till I was just almost 43. I retired and mm-hmm. didn't win another Stanley Cup. And Joe went on to win, fortunate to win a couple more. But when you look back on it now, and I know all the players at the 25th reunion we were at in May, it's incredible. It was 25 years ago, and it feels, honestly, it does not feel that long ago, and it's definitely a moment in my career and my life that has. That has been a big part of my memories of playing in the National Hockey League, but to win it at 23, when I think back at it, I didn't understand probably what the market was going to leave on me and how I was going to feel 25 years later, not having a chance to win another one.
Just a few more with Gary Roberts, Flames alumni. It is Flames alumni night. He's going to be honored. 10 seasons with the Calgary Flames, including that Stanley Cup in 1989. Want to ask you about your relationship with Joe Noondike, and I know that it was pretty cool when he had his night last season, and you were a part of that. Just take us through how long you and Joe have known each other and been as close as you've been.
Yeah, so we started. We were 5 years old. We met at Brooklyn Arena in minor hockey in Brooklyn Whippy area, and I was a wren and he was an owl. And we played against each other. We were 5 years old. We were both centermen playing against each other, and Then we started playing rep hockey together, and we played together all the way up to 16 till I went on to play junior A hockey in Ottawa, and then Joe played some junior B hockey actually in Pickering with my brother. And then Joe ended up being drafted, not drafted to the Ontario Hockey League, and ended up being drafted to the Calgary Flames a year after me because he had a late birthday. So I remember we both couldn't get hold of each other because we were calling each other because we couldn't believe that the Calgary Flames had traded Kent Nielsen to get the pick and ended up taking Joe. So for us to play our minor hockey together from, you know, 5 to 16 and then play from age 20 to 30, in the NHL together is really special. He's a great friend and you know, obviously a Hall of Famer, and the success that he's had. I think it was a big benefit to me to have him close to me early in my career. We talk about, you know, the scrapping and stuff that I did early in my career to try and be on in, you know, in the lineup every night. You know, and I remember Joe saying to me one night in Winnipeg, I think Gord Donnelly wanted to beat me up for the second time in the game, and Joe said, Gary, you don't need to fight that guy, man. You're scoring goals now. And it was kind of like, you know, he was such a good friend, like a brother to me. I said, you're right, Newey. I don't have to fight that guy anymore. And went on to enjoy scoring goals a lot more than having to drop my gloves as often.
Yeah.
Of course, I still did that, but not to the extent that I did early on in my career. If you look at the penalty minutes that I put up early in my career, I was one of those players that I had the ability to score, but it didn't come out for a few years. And so I felt like I had to do something to be in the lineup every night. And that was kind of what I did to, you know, be a bit of a spark plug and physical and have to do that in order to play. And I always tell my guys today, I said, if you just blend in, guys, you have a risk of sitting in the press box. So you better do something every night that that whoever's got the scouting page and marking down how you did, you better be noticed. And if you're not noticed on a regular basis, you have a good chance of not playing for very long. So it was a real, I remember Jerry Blair was the scout that drafted me, and he said, I had a tough first training camp, and I remember him saying to him, Gary, you know, this is my job too, you know, I drafted you. So there's lessons you learn early in your career that you've got to learn to be a good pro day in and day out to have a chance at longevity in the game. And I'm fortunate to be able to try and help some young players with that today.
And I want to ask you about that, and I'll do that right after I ask this one, because I do want to make sure I get your recollection of, I think it was 95, 96, when after the neck surgeries, you came back and you played the game here against Hartford and you got the standing ovation. I guess just take us back to that moment, knowing all of what you'd been through two neck surgeries and all that rehab and through potentially having your career come to an end and then getting a moment like you did here at the Saddle Dome.
Yeah, I mean, I think back to what I went through for that period of time going through my injuries you know, at the time as a player, you kind of think you're invincible, and had the neck injuries and had the surgeries and truly believe if I would have given it more time, I probably would never have left Calgary. After I had those surgeries, I just didn't feel like, you know, look back on it today, that I didn't give the nerves in my neck a chance to regenerate. And I came back and did have some success early on against, you know, Buffalo and Hartford were the first two games I came back in that early January after going through that almost a year and a half dealing with my neck. And it was really special to come back and have that success. And I think I played 30-something games that year, and then it ended up having the burners again and the loss of feeling in my right arm especially that led me to saying, wow, like I've had two surgeries, I've gone through the rehab, and I'm still getting these symptoms that are scaring me. So that's when I made a decision to retire. I believe if I never came back that year and continued to rehab and give the nerves my neck a chance to heal, I wouldn't have had to finally retire to deal with that. But you know, those things you look back on and the decisions you make to think you're 29, 30 years at 30 years old, and all of us at the time, you know, there was a lot of guys playing hurt. So I looked at it like, well, I'm just one of those guys trying to play hurt, and a lot of guys played hurt. But with the situation I had with my neck, it was just too serious of an injury, and I should have taken more time off. But in the end, I ended up retiring for 18 months, and then finally gave the nerves my chance to heal, and then I was able to rebuild my body and change my lifestyle and training and fortunate to come back and play from 30 to just before my 43rd birthday. So I was very, very grateful and thankful that I got that second opportunity. But I know that it was the changes that I made to my lifestyle that enabled me that opportunity, and that's what I teach today.
Well, let's get right into it. I know you're working with some members of the Flames right now, some of the current members on the team, and working with a lot of NHLers right now. So what are you doing, and what is the message that you're preaching to these players today?
Yeah, well, the biggest message is basically lifestyle. The game today is a lot more than just playing hockey. If you're on the ice for a couple hours a day, I'm more concerned about what you're doing the other 22 hours of the day that's going to enable you to be the best player you can be and have a chance at longevity in the game. I have run a program in Toronto, and this year I'm moving my top programs, my top 30 to 35 pro players, will train out of St. Andrews College. It's an all-boys school in Aurora, Ontario. They have a beautiful new rink and a weight room and track and turf that we'll run our top program out of. Bryce Van Brabant was a prospect from the Flames that actually spent the summer with me last summer. Wonderful kid who worked very hard and hasn't cracked the lineup yet. But he's the kind of players that I love to have that are there for the right reason and want to get better. So I have those kind of players that are trying to crack the lineup. Then I have some veteran NHL players that are in the league that are having success today. And then I say, I don't really cheer for teams anymore. I cheer for individuals that I work with. So I've run a program where I have about 5 strength coaches in Toronto and a chiropractic athlete's care that take care of our guys, holistic nutritionist and a chef. We make all the guys their food and their meals. And it's basically teaching these players a lot more about how to be a pro and how to have a chance at playing for a long time and playing well for a long time. And the biggest thing that I learned over the years is there's a lot more to hockey than just being a hockey player. And these players that buy into the lifestyle choices, I'm not saying you can't have a cheat day here and there, but you can't have 4 cheat days a week like we used to have.
Yeah.
Right? So you can have a cheat day occasionally, and if your body composition's at a certain stage, then I'll let you cheat a little more. But for the most part, it's an all-encompassing program that gives the players, they teach you how to train, they teach you how to refuel, you teach you how to recover, and then in the end you perform. And that's basically what I sell and what I try to preach to these young players. And I have obviously some guys like Steve Stamkos, who I played with my last year in Tampa. I was at the end of my career, he was at the beginning of his career, and I worked with him that winter, and I continue to work with him as being the guy that I worked with my first summer. I was asked by the Tampa Bay Lightning to work with him, and I loved that summer so much training Stamkos that I just said, you know what, this is what I want to do. And now that's 6 years ago now, and every summer we just try to improve the program and take on more guys if we can. But it's one of those things where I want to do a really good job, and it takes a lot of work to do a good job. So you can't have too many players either, so there's only limited spots available. I do run a junior program with younger players. We have probably 75 to 100 players in that program that I have my team take care of, and I see those players 2 days a week also. So it's a busy summer for me.
Yeah.
I took on a job that my golf game is going in the wrong direction. You know, I love my golf, but I don't get to play as much golf anymore because of what I've decided to do. I mean, from May 1st till September 7th, I'm in the gym, 40 to 60 hours a week, depending on the week. So I do a lot of work in the summer, but I'm passionate about it and love it and thankful that I'm doing it.
Peter Maurer says that his golf game remains better than yours.
Oh, gosh, if my golf game's not better than Peter Maurer's, then I'm in big trouble. Peter's a wonderful guy. Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you so much for stopping by today, and enjoy your night tonight. You deserve it, and it should be pretty cool. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
That is Gary Roberts. Alumni night tonight at the Scotiabank Saddledome. If you purchase the alumni packet, he's going to be signing autographs between 5 and 5:30 tonight, and then for public autographs in the first and second intermission. Calgary Flames great. Gary Roberts will be signing autographs here at the Scotiabank Saddledome.